on for the last several weeks. We've been discussing our identity in Jesus Christ, how that we have been redeemed from the bondage of sin, and the apostles, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, James, the Apostle John, they all referred to themselves as bond slaves, that they had been servants of sin, but they had been set free. They went before the Lord and dedicated themselves as a servant for the rest of their lives. And that's what happens to us when we get saved. I believe that the blood of Jesus, when it comes upon our hearts and upon our lives, when He forgives us of our transgression, when He sets us free from sin and relieves us of the burden of condemnation, that there's a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every true profession of faith. We believe that Jesus is Lord, and unless you confess that He is Lord and believe with your heart, you won't be saved. We move from being a slave to Satan and being a child of the devil. And in that transition of being redeemed and set free from slavery, Jesus paying the price for us on the cross of Calvary, we receive a new identity. Many of the slaves were given a new name once they were set free. They would have a slave name and a free name. Jesus gives us not only a white stone, but He gives us a new name. And we have this new identity. Jesus said, you know, you are my servants. And He uses the word doulos, but He says, but I call you friend. So not only do we move from a state of slavery to sin to a servant or a slave, a doulos, to Jesus Christ, but we become a child of God. We become an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We become part of the family of God. Not only that, but we receive all the benefits and the blessings that come as a result of Christ, and we have a new identity. In these passages of Scripture, and I've already given you an extensive outline, I had 7 points. And like I said, this morning I just hope to give you the conclusion of the matter, the sum of it all. But I gave you the various points that are found in this particular reading lesson in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the first 10 verses. And it gives us, those 10 verses give us some revelation into our true identity as believers in the Lord Jesus. He begins by saying, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile, we talked about these 7 sins that should not be in a believer. He in the first chapter talked about receiving a living hope. He talked about the living word in the last part of the first chapter. And in this chapter he talks about a living stone. And he says, born again folks, people that are saved, don't act this way. They don't live this way. Here at Victory Church, we believe that when you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. We believe that there's a change, that you receive a new nature, a divine nature, receive the nature of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's going to be the sum of the matter, is that our identity is lost in Jesus. It's not about us anymore, it's all about Him. And even in the way we live, our actions and our speeches, they are conformed to the principles and the precepts of God's Word. We are Christians. Christ-like, amen? And He is not only our example, but we strive to be like Him. And so He talks about laying aside all of these things, laying aside all the malice and the guile and the hypocrisy and the envies and the evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And we do. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. New converts, people that get saved, they desire to hear the Word of God. They want to do the Word of God. They want to be conformed to God's will and His ways. And so, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, they grow thereby. He says, you do that, you have that desire, that's your ambition, that's your want. It's part of who you are as a Christian, to know the Word of God and obey the Word of God. And then he kind of throws in this clause that people that don't have that desire, people that are not changed in that way, that love the Word of God and love the ways of God, there may be something wrong with their salvation. He says, if you really tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Have you ever tasted and seen that the Lord is good? We're talking about the spiritual taste, the spiritual appetite, the appetite of the soul, the very core of you, the heart of you, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I'm glad I did. May 15th, 1972, when I was a 10-year-old boy, I sought the Lord with all of my heart. I turned from my sins. I put faith in Jesus Christ, and something happened to me. I tasted in the goodness of the Lord. I tasted in the goodness of forgiveness and redemption and eternal life. I tasted of the sweet blessings of Calvary. The spoils of Calvary became mine, where I got right with God and knew God and received the holiness and the righteousness of God that is found in Christ Jesus. This is taken from the psalmist long ago. Those folks of the Old Testament, they too, they could taste and they could see that the Lord is good. Don't tell me there's no feeling associated with salvation. It's a spiritual feeling. It's a spiritual taste that you get to enjoy. There's something in your soul that gets satisfied when you come to the Lord. He alone satisfies the longing of our soul. And if you're here today and your soul has never tasted of the forgiveness of Calvary, if you've never tasted in the power of the world to come, if you've never tasted in the goodness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've never enjoyed the forgiveness of sin and eternal life that Jesus gives, you need to seek Him with all of your heart, repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too can be saved. And when that happens to you, there's a new life that comes into you. All right, he begins to talk about this living stone, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And when we are connected and when we are united to Him, when we're united with the Lord, His life becomes our life. Joined to the chief cornerstone, we receive life. And he gives us this illustration in the next couple of verses. First of all, he talks about the living stone. That living stone is the same living word that he spoke about. The living hope that we have. That living stone is Jesus Christ. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, Jesus identified himself as the stone spoken of. In Psalms 118 and verse 22, the stone that the builder rejected. And in those passages of Scripture, when you turn there, he says, if you fall upon this stone, you'll be broken to pieces. He says, but if this stone were to fall upon you, it will grind you to powder. Listen, Jesus is not only the living stone. He is the stone that you'll stand before at judgment. He will judge the deeds of man. He'll judge the worthiness of your soul based on whether or not the blood of Jesus has been applied. A living stone. That's Jesus. Look at verse 4. And when he gets to, and he says, this stone was disallowed indeed of men. We still have people today that reject Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected their Messiah. The world is rejecting the truth that's found in God's holy word. They're rejecting the witness of Christians, and even sons and daughters, to their own shame, are rejecting the witnesses of mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, telling them about the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, my friend, if you turn away from Jesus Christ, there's no hope for you. He is the chief cornerstone. Those that do not know Him and connect with Him and get life from Him. Notice in this verse, he says, yes, He is disallowed indeed of men, but He is chosen of God and precious. The word precious is used three times in our reading lesson down to verse 10. He is precious. He's precious to God.
He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. God the Father spoke out of heaven and said, He is the one you need to listen to. He's the one you need to trust in. He's the one that provides righteousness and salvation. In Him there's life. And without Him there's no life. And in Him is the life and the light of men. And so He talks about Him, Jesus, being the living. Now, I said last week, the living stone is the resurrected stone. Jesus is alive. And the Bible teaches because He is alive, we get life to live. Are you with me? There's a transference. A transference of life. Listen, this distortion in our life because of sin becomes a creative transformation. When we come to Jesus Christ, something changes in us and we get in sync with the Holy God that created us, and we have communion with Him. We are united through Jesus Christ and we have access to a Holy God. My first point was unity, or being united with the Lord. He says, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Let me say again here concerning this verse. He is the only way. He is the acceptable sacrifice. Do you realize what happened when He resurrected? It meant that the atonement at Calvary was sufficient to atone for your sins. It accredited His death as a death that could atone for the transgressions and the iniquities and the sins on your life and the life of the world. Yeah. He's alive. He's the living stone, the resurrection stone. And He says in verse 5, ye also. Notice that word, ye also. Ye also, as living stones. In other words, when we are joined to Him, we get life. Life. United to Christ is life. It is described as a new life. It is described as a new and a living way. I'm talking about when the Spirit of God comes into your soul, when it comes into your heart, it rearranges you. It remakes you. All of creation, it has to be recreated in Christ Jesus. He is the firstborn of a new creation. Listen, He is the second Adam. And we are all in the first Adam because of Adam's transgression. And we're sinners. And if we're ever saints and ever saved, you have to be in the second Adam. Amen. That simply means Paul wasn't the first and second Adam. He's just talking about federal headship. Listen, we are lost in the Adam of the Garden of Eden. We are saved and receive the Spirit that quickens through the Adam of Jesus Christ. What He did and who He is, we can have life. I believe we can have life more abundant. Joined to Him, it's the good life. Listen, there's no better life than the life of a Christian. There's no better life than the life of the saved. There's no better life than the life of the church member. There's no better life than the life of a child of God. Ye also, as living stones, are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, we have unity, we have accessibility. We can go before God and we can offer up spiritual sacrifices unto Him that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. It is contained in Scripture. Now, he is quoting Isaiah 28. This is found in Isaiah 28. The other parts of this, he actually rallies other Old Testament passages of Scripture, like Psalms 118. He also speaks of Isaiah chapter 8 about the stone that's disallowed or rejected of men. He is calling upon all these proof texts to show you, to testify to you that in Scripture that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And I spoke about, not only Him being the chief cornerstone, that we have access to God by Him, but the integrity of that stone that's found in Scripture. See, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem according to the Scriptures. He was raised in Nazareth according to the Scriptures. He was baptized on the River of Jordan by John the Baptist according to the Scriptures. He worked in miracles and walked on water according to the Scriptures. And He died on the cross of Calvary according to the Scriptures. He resurrected on the third day according to the Scriptures. He ascended to glory according to the Scriptures. He sat down on the right hand of the Father on high according to the Scriptures. And He's coming back according to God's holy word. Amen. The Scriptures contain, and I like that word contain. Listen, He is the cornerstone in the very beginning. When God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." He is the cornerstone that was set there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He is the cornerstone that would be the seed of the woman that would destroy and crush the head of the serpent. He's the cornerstone from the very beginnings of time. The cornerstone that Enoch preached about. Yeah, where He said the Lord's coming with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment. He's the cornerstone, not only of humanity, not only of this universe, not only of the earth that now is, but the earth that is to come. He is the cornerstone of the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All the righteousness in that place comes from the righteous Savior. It's contained in Scripture that, "Behold, I lay in Zion." Now, there's a lot of people, they want to make up a way of salvation that suits them, that appeases them, that pleases them. But God had a plan. You better make sure your plan of redemption is according to what He planned. I lay in Zion. The only way to have access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said He is the mediator. He is the only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man can come into the Father but by Him. He is the only way. Now those folks that want to say there's 10 or 15 ways to get saved, they are lying to you. There's only one way that's been laid in Zion by the Father, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 4. He said this Jesus, around verse, 12, 20, what's something around in there? The fourth chapter, read the whole thing. They were concerned about the man that had been healed and able now to walk, and they were questioning them and wanting them to stop preaching in Jesus' name. And he says, "I'll tell you why this man is whole. It's because of Jesus." And they began to preach, and they said, "This Jesus that you took and you crucified on the cross of Calvary on the third day, He arose victoriously." He said, "Have you not read that the stone that the builder rejected is the chief cornerstone?" And the next verse says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." He is the only way that you can be saved. Listen, if any of your salvation is off the stone that the builder rejected, off the stone that was laid in Zion, off the chief cornerstone that was laid by God Almighty, if your way is some other way than God's way, it's the wrong way. The symmetry of the stone is fixed. Fixed. Jesus always has been the way. The Bible says He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the way before the world was ever created, before man ever fell. I don't understand all that, but I know that Jesus always has been in eternity past and in eternity future. He's always been the way, and He'll always be the way. Listen, if you're not going to a church that's pointing you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, like John the Baptist did, you need to quit going to that church and find a church, a Spirit-filled church, that is pointing you to the Lamb of God for salvation and the Lamb of God alone. He's the living stone because He's alive. Yes, He's rejected a man. Even His gospel is rejected today. People don't like the good news about salvation. They want to go to Jesus and maybe just make a mental pledge of allegiance to Him. They don't want some radical reformation to take place deep inside of their soul. But Jesus came not to just change who you are, but He came to remake you in a new way. He's going to make you unto Himself and conform you to His image. Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, he said this. He said, I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. For him that He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be made what? To be made into the image of His Son. That's where we're going with this. We go through these passages of Scripture. And we read that Jesus Christ is a temple. In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 22, it says in the New Jerusalem that there's no temple there, but the Lamb is the temple thereof. And yet in those various passages of Scripture, like in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, it tells us that we become alive as a temple. The church does. We become a temple for the inhabitation of the Spirit. Watch this. Jesus Christ is the temple, and we become a temple. He offered up the one perfect sacrifice, and we make sacrifices unto Him, or we make sacrifices unto God through Him or by Him, like we read in Hebrews chapter 13. He is a priest. He's not just any priest. He is the great high priest. And yet we are described and identified as priests in these verses. You look in Revelation chapter 1, and it says in Revelation chapter 1 that we also are priests and kings unto Him. Listen, Jesus is the great high priest, and we're priests. He is the temple, and we make up a temple for the inhabitation of the Spirit. He is the one true sacrifice. We offer up sacrifices unto Him. See, we are being made into the image of His Son. Do you guys realize that we're going to be like Him in every way? Wow. That's good stuff. We're going to be like Him in every way. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that He becomes our identity. Our identity must be lost in Him. The Scriptures contain. In Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. All right, let me pause here just for a moment. Let me say that the conduit, the means, the way in which you come to be part of the family of God, come to be part of the temple of God, come to be part of the priesthood of God, come and be part of the inheritance of God, you must come by faith. Faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith. We're justified by faith. Listen, if any part of your redemption and salvation, eternal life, is founded on works, you're lost and in your sins. It's not of works. It's by faith. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Him. And let me just say this. You can't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ without repenting of your sins. They're inseparable graces of God, right? Yeah. Those that believe in Him, we come to Him as the head and the cornerstone of our lives. Has there ever been a time in your life where all your weight was leaned upon Jesus? Your eternal life was weighed upon Him, surrendered to Him, laid upon Him. Where He endured your sins on the cross of Calvary. And when He came forth on the third day, He brought forth your victory. Are you with me? I'm talking about if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. If we are crucified with the Lord, we'll live with the Lord. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 22, he said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, let me turn over there. Philippians chapter 3, he said in verse 9, he said, I want to be found in Him. I'm trusting in Him. I'm surrendered to Him. I'm living for Him. I'm absorbed in Him. Listen, I believe the Christian life is a life that's absorbed in Jesus Christ. We are surrendered to Him. We are committed to Him. We are serving Him. We are obeying Him. Surrender to the Lord. He says, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Oh, but the righteousness, which is of faith. And he went on and said in verse 10, why? Why am I trusting the Lord? Why am I believing the Lord? Why am I putting faith in the Lord? He says this. Look at it. It says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Then I might experience the power of His resurrection. And he goes on, he says, well, you know, I'm not really apprehended, but I have apprehended. Listen, if there's not some new life that came into you because of the raised life of Jesus Christ, you need life. He is the bread of life. He's the only bread of life that came down out of heaven. He is the manna that came down out of heaven. He is the living water. Yes, if you get your thirsty soul quenched, you're going to have to come to the fountain. Jesus is the fountain. Quit making cisterns that are full of empty, corroded water. Come and find the fountain of life, which is Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Bride. It still says come, doesn't it? Come. Come. We see in these verses of Scripture where Paul said, I'm coming, I'm keep coming by faith. Why? That I might experience more and more of His resurrection power. And he goes on and says, though I'm not really apprehended, something has apprehended me. Look at it there in that verse. He says, it has apprehended me. It's laid hold upon me. Something's got a hold of me. Listen, when you got saved, if it didn't apprehend you, in verse 12, he says, if that I may apprehend that which is apprehended me, what apprehended him? It was Jesus Christ and His saving grace. I know I sound like a broken record, but look, if you really come to Jesus, your life will never be the same. It will apprehend you. It will consume you. Life will be given to you. Grace will come into you. Ah, what a blessing. What a blessing. He says, now this is what I do. I forget those things of the past. I press toward the mark. What is the mark? Being like Jesus. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul desired to be just like Jesus, not in his own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. I believe we will have that holiness in the end. We'll be holy just like Jesus because we'll have Jesus' holiness. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. How's that ever going to happen? Well, we'll receive the perfection of Jesus Christ. We'll receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yes, it'll come into our hearts and into our lives forever. It will change us. It will rearrange us. And when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be like Him. We'll be just like Jesus. This mortality will put on immortality. We'll receive a glorified body just like Jesus. Now, I know this is hard for the world to comprehend, but the chief cornerstone is at the right hand of the Father, bodily, in His body. And that body that came out of the tomb is the very body that ascended to glory and sat down on the throne in heaven. His body, His resurrected body, the same body that was on the cross of Calvary, is in heaven. He is the first fruits of them that sleep. I understand first fruits. You go out and you pick the first fruits of the harvest and you'd bring it in, you'd offer to God and you'd praise God, and whatever you had laid out there on the altar, you knew there was an abundance of crops out there still in the field that was yet to be gleaned. And we are that harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. Don't you guys realize that when He is referred to as the King, He's referred to as the King of Kings. When He's referred to as the Lord, He is the Lord of Lords. When He's referred to as the bread, He is the bread that came down out of heaven. When he's referred to as the vine, he's referred to as the true vine. When he's referred to as the shepherd, he is not only the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep, but he is also the great shepherd that lives and reigns in glory at the right hand of the Father. And he's referred to by Peter as the chief shepherd. And he said, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's not just a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's not just any priest. He is the great high priest. Listen, he is not just a stone. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of the universe. And he needs to be the chief cornerstone of your life. Of your life. Of your life. I'm about done. All right. Now read the rest of this. I got to read all 10 of these verses. It's contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, it's been chosen, it's precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you this morning? Oh, he's precious to me. The most precious thing in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. You might reject him in this life, but he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you reject him in this life, the Bible says that there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that the whole world, both small and great, will stand before the great white throne of judgment and they'll give an account to Jesus Christ for the things done in this body, both good and evil. He is the judge. In the end, you'll stand before him. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, a lot of people don't like my preaching. That's okay. It's not so much my style, it's what I preach. I preach Jesus crucified and him the only way of salvation for lost men. I preach him alive. Living in the hearts of men. Living in his church. Sending us the Comforter when he ascended on high. Visiting us, empowering us. Listen, if we need power, we're going to have to get power from him who has all power in heaven and earth. The integrity of the stone. The symmetry of the stone. The security of the stone. Listen, there's no other refuge than the refuge that's found in Jesus Christ. A stone stumbling. You know, I preached Sunday night to the young people about them stumbling. Hear a message, hear a testimony, hear about somebody getting saved. Hear read a passage of Scripture, hear a passage of Scripture read. See a movie about the Ten Commandments or about the Bible, about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just stumbling and stumbling and stumbling, and eventually they'll stumble right off into eternity. Eternity. And he talks about that. Look at verse 8. The stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, in other words, rejecting the gospel, not putting faith in Jesus Christ, there is an eternal appointed place for the unbelievers. He says that right here. Whereunto also they were appointed. If you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you reject him and don't put faith in Jesus to save you, if you don't make him the cornerstone of your life and the cornerstone of your eternity, you'll stumble right off into the pits of hell. Some of the saddest words in all the Bible are found in Matthew chapter 7. Well, they said, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And in thy name cast out devils? Jesus will say unto them in the end, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, you need to know the Lord, and the Lord needs to know you. He needs to know you by name. His sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Eternity. So we're united to him, become a living stone. We have accessibility to the Holy of Holies, to heaven itself. offering up spiritual sacrifices by the one great sacrifice that was offered up at Calvary for our sins. The integrity of that stone has validity all through the Scriptures, and I didn't get a chance to go through all that. That makes Him precious. The symmetry, the teaching, the doctrines. Listen, you can trust in the Word of God. You can trust in the sayings and teachings of Jesus Christ. He said, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. You can trust that. And then we have eternity for those who believe and those who don't believe. Listen, we conclude with our destiny. Our destiny as believers is that we're going to be made like Him. He says, verse 9, well, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. We're kings and priests in His kingdom. Do you guys believe we're going to be heirs of God? How is that possible? Because Jesus is the main heir. We share in the heirship of Jesus Christ. Heirs to God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're part of the family of God because He is the only begotten Son of God. That's the only reason we're part of His family. He's a priest and we are priests. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. And it's an old reform term. Priesthood of the believer. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Aaron, get a song. I'm trying to close. Which in times past were not a people. We're talking about our destiny. Not just eternity, but our destiny. People, we're going to get to go to heaven. We are going to be able to walk the streets of gold. We're going to not only live with Christ, we are going to reign with Him. Reign with Him. Does that excite you? Man, it does me. We're going to be made in the image of His Son, and we're going to receive all the benefits and blessings that He has because He has given it to us. In the book of John, I believe it's chapter 14, Jesus said this to His disciples in closing. He said, because I live, you're going to live also. Because of who I am and what I have, you're going to have it too. Know what He said? Everything that the Son enjoys, you're going to enjoy. Yes, we'll receive a crown of life, but He is the King with many crowns. Yeah. 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 He's going to be highly exalted and glorified, and we're going to enter into His glory. The Bible says the problems and trials of this world, they're not compared to the eternal weight of glory that we shall share. All right, so our destiny, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I believe in, I know this kind of blows people's mind, but I believe Jesus is the real Israel of God. I'm going to say that again. I believe Jesus is the real Israel of God. The citizens of His kingdom, the stone that was cut out of the mountain, not by hands, would fill the whole earth. That's what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2. Amen. The God of heaven would set up His kingdom, and of His kingdom, it would consume and destroy all the other kingdoms of the world, and of His kingdom, there will be no end. But every citizen of His kingdom will be the expressed image of the Son, just like the Son is the expressed image of the Father. That's the only reason we get to go there. That's the only reason we get to go to heaven is that we will be like Him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. But you have to be called out of darkness into this marvelous light. You have to have a past where you were not part of the people of God, and now you're the people of God. A time in your life where you've not obtained mercy. Look at verse 10. But now you have obtained mercy. Listen, if there's not a point in your life, a beginning in your life, where you found the Lord and were saved, if you don't have a time and a place where you were born from above, where you were not a child of God and then become a child of God, not experiencing the benefits of Christ, then experiencing the benefits of Christ, not being conformed to the image of His Son, but then changed through that conversion experience where you're being controlled by Him, apprehended by Him, and also changed by Him, made into the image of His Son. Listen, that resurrected state of Jesus is the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me. The question is this. There are 7 points to this message. The last one is, what is your destiny? Who will you be in the end? Will you be like the Lord Jesus Christ, or will you be like the devil? Will you be under only the first Adam and not part of the second Adam? Will you enjoy the blessings and benefits of the spoils of Calvary or not? You know what you need to do? This is a good time to be saved. Amen. Repent of your sins. Call upon the Lord. You know the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That clearly teaches me, unless you pray, call on the Lord, repent for yourself, believe for yourself, you'll never be saved. So when you're by yourself later today, maybe laying up on your bed tonight, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. He wants to be not only your eternity, but He wants to control your destiny. He's alive, and you need to know that for yourself.